In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today is the feast of the purity of Blessed Virgin Mary. After the fall of Adam and Eve in paradise, man's senses and selfishness have risen to the rebellion against God and reason. As a sad result of this, living a virtuous, God-pleasing life has become very hard in the world. Because of Mary's purity, the Holy Ghost called her a lily. In the Bible it said, "As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." Mary was compared to a lily among thorns because, unlike the other girls, and the most blessed Mary was the innocent one and the most beautiful girl and most innocent and pure of anybody who was ever created. This purity of Mary made me think of an old English fairy tale named The Undutiful Daughter, which I wanted to tell you, children, in warning of foolishness and vanity to which your senses might tempt you. There was a beautiful girl who lived with her father and mother in a seaside place. This girl was so vain and foolish that she cared for nothing but to look at her face in a glass. Now before her birthday, her father said to her, "Tell me what you most desire in all the world, and if possible, it shall be yours." So she said, "Give me a room, all the walls of which are lined with mirrors, so that in it, wherever I look, I shall see myself." He was sorrowful when he heard this, and he said to her, "My dear child, unless you think and care for something else except your own self and your own beauty, I do not think that much good will come to you." But she was headstrong and vain and answered her father, "What is there more beautiful to be seen than my face?" He said, "Surely there are sweet flowers, the rose and the lily and the daffodil." "The rose," said she, "has thorns, the lily has no color, and the daffodil has no scent. I am more beautiful than all these flowers. I have no teasing thorns, I have blooming pink cheeks, and my breath is sweeter than the new-mown hay." When her father heard her speak this way, he saw that her mind was fully eaten up with vanity. But as he had promised to give her what she desired, he was obliged to let her have the room lined with mirrors. Then the beautiful girl was happy. She twirled and skipped and looked at herself from every side and in every posture, and was quite satisfied that never had there been anyone more beautiful than she, and that there was nothing else worth seeing except herself. So time passed and a new birthday drew near. Then her father said to her, "Tell me what you wish and I will give it to you." She answered, "I wish to consult the old woman of Norwood so as to whom I shall marry." Her father rejoined, "That is not a wise thing to desire. When it pleases heaven, the right man will come, one whom I and your mother will approve of and you will love. And if he is a man of honor and character and family, then the marriage shall take place. You are our only child and our heir, and we do not intend you to be thrown away on anyone." Nevertheless, as he had made the promise to let her have on her birthday what she asked, he was obliged to consent. So she mounted her milk-white horse, and when she reached Norwood, she found an old woman who lived in a hollow oak tree. Then she put a purse of gold into the old woman's hand and said to her, "Tell me whom I shall marry and what shall become of me." And the old woman told her that she would marry a king, and what treasures would await her. She would sleep in a golden bed. She would be attended by servants dressed in blue who would rock her in her golden bed. She would sleep under curtains of living green. and on her wedding day she would be carried away from home in a coach drawn by 1,000 white horses, shaking their white manes. "That will be a grand wedding," said the girl. Then she returned home, and if she was a proud girl when she went forth to consult the old woman of Norwood, she was a prouder one when she came home. Now drew near this girl's birthday, when she would be 18, and one night she had a dream, and in that dream she saw the old woman of Norwood, who said to her, "I have appeared to tell you something. You were to marry on your 18th birthday the promised king. You must say nothing to your father or mother. He is now in the harbor with his ship, and the sign of the ship is the golden apple. Ask your father to let you go down to see over the bark named the golden apple, and the captain is he who will be your husband." The girl's father came to her and said, "Tomorrow is your birthday. Ask what you wish, and I will do it for you." Then she said, "There is a ship come lately into harbor called the Golden Apple, and I greatly desire to go over her." Her father shook his head and said, "This is a very unwise request, my child. I hear no good account of this vessel. Some say it is that of a notorious pirate, but indeed no one really knows any certainty about her, nor who her captain is. But some assert that the crew is made up of fugitives and has on board a priest lately defrocked by his bishop for grave misconduct. However, as he had promised to let her have her way, he was obliged to grant her request." Accordingly, in the morning, she and her father and mother went to the ship, and the captain received them very graciously and invited them to go all over the vessel. The captain invited them down into his cabin, and then all of a sudden he whistled, and his sailors sprang on the father and mother and bound their hands and put something over their mouths that they could not cry out. And forthwith the sea captain gave his hand to the girl and led her up to the companion ladder on deck, and the expelled priest hastily married them over the capstan. After that the sea captain said, "Make haste, go home and bring all the gold and silver and jewels in the house. I will not let your parents go till that is done." She hasted on shore, and she filled baskets with all the jewels and gold she could find, the silver plate, the necklaces and chains of her mother, rings and goblets, and everything of value she could lay her hands on. And she made all her servants carry them down to the harbor, and they were taken on board by the sea captain and his men. Now when she had thus cleared her home, then the captain released her father and mother, and at once spread sail, and as there was a fine wind offshore, the sail filled, and the ship flew away to sea like a gull. Then the girl said, "But where is the coach, and where are the white horses?" The captain laughed and answered, "This ship is the coach, and the waves shaking their white manes are the horses." "But," said she, "you are a king. Where is your kingdom?" "My kingdom is this ship," he answered, "and my name is Andrew King. Therefore it is true that you have wed a king." Now before very long she found that her husband, the sea captain, was indeed a great pirate and robbed ships on the sea. And when she had sailed today and tomorrow, she was wringing her hands and bewailing in sorrow. And when she had sailed not many a mile, she knew she had been an undutiful child. Now after a while a strange thing happened. Although the sails were full spread, the wind blew free, yet the vessel moved no further. And this was the reason. The father and the mother of the girl had been so filled with grief that they had been plundered and deserted by their own daughter, whom they had loved so dearly, that both died of a broken heart, and neither one of them had blessed their daughter before death closed their eyes and paralyzed their tongues. And it is said that no ship will sail with one on board who has been the death of father and mother and unforgiven by them. So they knew that the fault must be on board, and they resolved to draw lots and discover who it was who held the ship fast in mid-seas. They cast the black bullets as they sailed on the water. The black bullet fell on the undutiful daughter. Oh, who in the ship must go over the side? Oh, none save the maiden, the fair captain's bride. So they threw the girl overboard, but then another strange thing happened. Night and day the drowned girl followed the ship and cried out for the restoration of all that of which she had despoiled her parents. It was clear that she could not sink. The sea rejected her because of her guilt. After 3 days, the sailors became so alarmed at being thus followed by the dead girl that they insisted on her demand being complied with. So she was again taken on board, and all the gold was brought forth and melted up and made into a golden coffin, and in that golden coffin her body was laid. And they put in beside her all the jewels she had taken from her parents. Then they lowered the gold coffin into the sea again, and at once it began to float away, with the sun shining on it, and was lost to sight. After 3 days they were short of water, and so came ashore to fill their casks. The first thing they saw on coming to land was the gold coffin washed up on the beach. Then they heaved it further up to where hung some green willows, and they buried the undutiful daughter under the waving, living green branches. And so were fulfilled all the words of prophecy told concerning her. She had married a king. She had been driven in a coach by white horses, that is, the foaming waves. She had slept in a golden bed, her coffin, and been rocked by attendants in blue gowns, that is, the sea waves. And she had now been laid under wavy curtains of living green, the branches of the willow.